Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search rockc3 for our app. This is the third week of our series called The Offensive, and this week is all about living on the offensive as a team, which is a community with a cause. Enjoy the message.
So, hey, I'm glad you guys are here today. My name is Josh. I'm one of the pastors and excited that you are with us. Maybe it's your first time ever at The Rock, maybe your first time ever in this building, or maybe first time ever watching online. So whatever that is, if whatever has brought you here, man, we are glad that you're with us. If you're new here in Conway, then please stop by the Connect Corner. We would love just to connect with you. We've got a gift for you, a t-shirt and some stuff like that. We'd love to give to you. If you're online, text the word connect to that number that you're seeing scroll across the bottom of the screen, because we would love to just connect with you that way, all right? And today, all right, we're going to talk about this idea of going on the offensive, all right? We've been talking about it for 3 weeks now. We're going to continue this theme about playing offense, and today we're really going to turn the corner. So far, I've been talking about it as an individual, and we still as individuals have to do this, but I want to challenge you to do today to do it as a team. That I want us to think about what it means to be on a team. So let's just start by having a little bit of fun. What are some of the greatest sports teams ever? Some of you have them in your mind right now. I don't even know what you're shouting over there, Katie. I just heard something. Okay? There's a lot of great sports teams out there. You can think recent days. You can think college. LSU was a great team last year. Alabama on the football level has been, you know, a great team for a while. You could talk about Clemson has been a great football team for a while. That they've got some great things going. We could talk baseball. We know that for those of you living here, Coastal Carolina, I'm a pretty big fan of their baseball program. They've got a good thing going there. We could talk basketball. All right, if you talk basketball, think of some of the greatest teams ever. You got the Jordan Bulls, okay? You've got the Larry Bird-led Celtics, all right? Larry Bird was from Indiana, in case you don't know that. Great things come from Indiana. Anyway, all right, so Larry Bird from playing for Boston there, the only good team in Boston worth rooting for. Well, I thought I'd get a few more laughs than that, you know. But you got that. You got the Johnson-led Lakers when Magic was playing for them. You got great teams, all right? In the football world, one of the greatest NFL teams of all time, people would say, was the 1985 Bears. That people would say the 85 Bears was just a phenomenal team, all right? Now, I want us to think about these teams, and I want you to think, what do they all have in common? A great offense. I want you to think about it. One of the things that all these teams had in common is a great offense. When you think about the Chicago Bears, you typically don't think offense. When you think about LSU, you don't think offense. You think about Alabama, you don't typically think about offense. But I want you to think about Alabama. As soon as they made an offensive shift, they really started winning even more. LSU couldn't win a national championship until they made an offensive shift last year. The Chicago Bears, even though they were the greatest defensive team ever, is what some people would say about them in the NFL. In 85, I want you to understand, they had Walter Payton, who was the leading NFL rusher of all time up at that point. You had Willie Gault, who was the fastest man in the NFL. You had the William the Refrigerator Perry, who was a defensive lineman, but he played fullback and nobody could stop him. And then you had McMahon as their quarterback, who had his greatest statistical year ever. They were an offensive team. Great teams play defense, but they specialize in offense. And that's what I want to challenge you with today. If there's one thing I could give you today, all right, I'm going to give you the whole message right now. And that is simply this. I want you to be on a team that plays offense. And if you're not on the team yet, then my hope is in the next 40 minutes that we continue to have service, that you will make a decision to get on a team, one, with Christ, and secondly, with others. Because if you're on a team with Christ and with others, then you can accomplish more than you could ever imagine. That people will say, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. And what I would say is, if you have Jesus in your life and others in your life, you can go both fast and far. Because he will take you there quickly. He will be the wind in your sails. And you can go far because you have him and others in your life. So that's my hope for you, is today that you'll make a decision to get on a team with him and with others. And to do that, I want to look at King David, all right? Now, I call him King David. Understand, at this point, he's still not a king. Let me back you up. Let me give you the last 2 weeks of what I talked about. Is there was a guy named David who lived in Israel. And David, when he was a boy, he was anointed by a guy named Samuel to be the future king. He wasn't a king yet. He was a little boy. He was anointed to say, one day you'll be a king. From there, he went back to the fields. He continued to be a shepherd. Eventually, he went to the front lines where the Israelites were taking on the Philistines. And there was a giant there named Goliath. And David said, nobody else will fight, so let me fight. David basically picked up the ball and he said, I'll go towards the giant. And he went towards the giant and knocked down the giant. That he played offense. And we talked about that a lot last week. He did it as an individual, though, for God and for others. And then from there, Saul recruited him back to kind of the palace. He was part of Saul's crew. But eventually, Saul became very jealous of David. Now, we don't know if he was jealous because he heard that David would one day be king. That might have been it. We don't know. We know that people were praising David. That when they would come into town, people would say, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed tens of thousands. Well, you can imagine Saul being the king, he got jealous from this. And he's like, man, this guy's taking all my glory. He's taking my press. So he got mad and he actually tried to kill David. And David thought maybe at first he was just like upset. And then he tried to do it again. And David's like, I got to get out of here. I got to run for my life. So he fled. He went to the Philistine area for a while. Then eventually went to some mountains. And when he was at some mountains, that's where he set up camp, and some others came to join him. And that's where I want to pick up the story. I'll turn to it. It's 1 Samuel chapter 22, and it says this. It says, David left Gath and took refuge in the cave of Adullam. When David's brothers and his father's whole family heard, they went down and joined him there. So David's on this mountain. His dad and his brothers hear that he's there, so they say, well, let's go be with David. Now, why would they say that? Chances are, one, because they knew David would eventually be king, and they're like, let's go hang out with the king. Or secondly, if they knew that Saul was trying to kill David, chances are that means Saul is also trying to kill them. So for protection's sake, let's go be with David. Let's go hang out with him. So David's father, his brothers, his whole family went down. But then some other people joined as well. Then some other people came and developed a community. Because a team is a community with a cause. We'll see that. It says this. In addition, every man who was desperate, in debt, or discontented rallied around him, and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him. That everyone rallied around him. Like, and you can see from the text, right? All of the first round draft picks came. All of the biggest dudes, the best people, right? Isn't that what it says? No. What's it say? It says all those who were desperate, in debt, and discontented. That if anything, David has the bad news bears gathering around him. That he's got a bunch of misfits. He's got a bunch of ragamuffins. Today's language, I could put it like this. He's got the Guardians of the Galaxy around him. Who here has seen Guardians of the Galaxy? Raise your hand so I know I'm talking to you, my people, okay? Right? Like, if you ever saw that movie, you started to watch it, you're like, what am I watching? You know what I mean? Like, who is this Star-Lord guy? This is dumb. And then a raccoon and a stick starts talking. And I'm Groot. You know what I mean? That's all he said, right? And it's like, it's just like a misfits. It's like the island of misfit toys. And that's who gathers around. Yet they become a community. That's what David has. David's got a bunch of misfits that gathered around him. He had a bunch of desperate people. I want you to think about it. They were desperate, and the reason they were desperate is because they were in need. That there was something in their life that just wasn't working, and they said, I need something in life. I need something to fulfill me. I need something to provide for me. I need to get out of this hole that I'm in, and I'm crying out for help. He was surrounded by people who were in debt. Maybe they were in debt because they financially had no money. Maybe they were in debt because they owed some taxes to their King Saul. Maybe they were in debt because they were supposed to give up some crops and they couldn't provide it. So these people who are in debt, they come to David. And these people who are discontented, people who have no content in life, that they're hopeless, that they're saying, man, there's got to be something else out there. There's got to be something more to this life than what we found right now. That's who's come around David. And David welcomed them in. David said, you can find a community here. David said, I'll be your leader. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. Isn't that what the church should be? Shouldn't the church be a place for those who are desperate can find life and hope and find what they need? The church, these walls, these doors should always be open to desperate people to come in and find what they need. We might not always find what we think we want, but we will find what we need. And when we find what we need, we'll recognize that's actually what I want. Because you might be here right now and you might be desperate. You might be like, man, I am in need. And you're like, I don't know why I'm here, but I found myself at church. So while I'm at church, I'll sit, I'll listen. And maybe even during the worship, you're like, man, there's something happening in my heart. There's something happening in my spirit that I didn't even recognize I needed, and it's coming. And you start to realize, man, that's what I want. Maybe you're here and you're in debt. And I don't mean financial debt. Maybe you are. Maybe you're in financial debt. I'll tell you this. This is a great place to be. Because if you'll just follow the words of Scripture, God will teach you how to best manage your money, and it'll help you get out of debt. But this Scripture isn't necessarily talking about financial debt, or I don't want to necessarily talk about financial debt. I want to talk about spiritual debt. Because reality is, every one of us in this room, we've all had a debt that we could not pay. We've all had a debt that we cannot pay. And it's a debt called sin. And anytime you step into sin, anytime you do something that is against God's will, right? Whether that's maybe sleeping with somebody who's not your spouse, maybe that's lying to somebody, maybe that's being angry to somebody, maybe that's being greedy, maybe that's spreading gossip, maybe that's not honoring your parents, or maybe that's not being right towards your kids, whatever that might be, that's stepping into sin. And when we step into sin, we take a debt on that we cannot pay, because the debt of those things is death. Maybe not physical death, but it is spiritual debt. And when we sin, we take on spiritual debt. And here's the reality. We can't pay for our own spiritual debt. There's nothing that you do, there's nothing that I do that can pay my way out of the bad things that I've done. The only thing I can do is rely on Jesus. And the beautiful thing is this, is that Jesus pays our debts for us. That is good news. That is good news. And I know some of you right now that you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, which means you're in debt. And I want you to know you're in the right place, that this is a place where you can find community. Because while you're here, you can start to come to understand who Jesus is, that you can talk to others around you who do know who Jesus is. And they can tell you, you know what? I was in debt just like you. And yes, I'm still a sinner, and yes, I still make mistakes, but the bottom line is my debt has been covered by Christ. And that's what we all need. So maybe you're here, maybe you're watching because you're desperate, maybe you're in debt, or maybe you're just discontent. Let's admit it, 2020 has been a tough year for many of us. That there's all kinds of junk that has come through this past year, and maybe it's put you in a point where you're like, man, I need to find some hope. I need to find some life. I need to find something different than what I've been finding, because right now I'm just not very satisfied with life. Well, the beautiful thing is, in Christ, you can find satisfaction. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life to the full. So if you're here right now, if you're watching online, maybe you're at home, then I want you to know, if you are desperate, if you are in debt, or if you are discontented, this is the place for you, that you can find a community. And the beautiful thing is, as a community, we admit that we're a bunch of misfits. We admit that we're a bunch of ragamuffins. All right? Because through Christ, God takes those misfits, he takes those ragamuffins, and he turns you into a guardian of the galaxy. He turns you into somebody that he uses to save the world. See, that's what he did with David's men. Like there were some guys that came to David, all right? 400 of them. Out of these guys, there were some guys, its names were this: Joshua, Eleazar, Shammah, Abishia, and Benaiah. Is it okay with you if I just change their names for a second? Because those are hard to say. Let's just change his first name to Josh, because that's a good name. You know what Josh did? He came to David as a desperate man, as somebody in debt, as somebody who is discontented. He found a home, he found a community, and then he went on a cause, and his cause was to help deliver people. And one day he actually went to war against the Philistines, and by himself in one battle killed 800 Philistines. One guy. Let's talk about El, who is next to him. That El, one day, he was fighting back to back with David, and he wouldn't leave David's side. And it said that he fought so long that his hand froze to his sword. That he held that sword for so long, he actually couldn't remove his fingers. You've maybe held a tool like that before, and that's happened. Well, that's what happened to El. Or you can talk about Sham. Sham is a weird guy. He hoed down a bunch of Philistines one day. All right? I usually don't say it that way, but it's the easiest way to say it. In the Bible, it says that one day he was standing in the midst of his field and with a garden tool whooped a bunch of Philistines. So I don't know if he had a hoe, I don't know if he had a pitchfork, a shovel, I don't know what he had, but he defeated the Philistines. Or you can talk about Abe, we'll call him Abe. Abe took out 300 Philistines with a spear. Or you can talk about Ben. I love Ben's story. We don't know a whole lot about Ben. We simply know this. One, he beat an Egyptian champion with a club. Secondly, it says that one day, it was a snowy day, he chased a lion into a pit. Why would a man chase a lion into a pit? I don't know about you. Like, I want to play offense. But in that situation, I'm probably playing defense. But not Ben. Ben played offense. He went after this lion. I don't know if it's because the lion had been attacking his family. He said, I'm going after it. I don't know if he was hungry and he wanted some meat. I don't know if it was a snowy day. He was cold and he's like, I need a new fur coat. But for some reason, he chased a lion into a pit. These guys all found community. They all found a community. And inside of their community, they had a cause. And guys, that's the same for us. It's the same for each and every one of us right now. That when you come to church, when you become part of a church, then what you're finding is a community where everyone can belong, where everyone's invited in. And we come together, we're all invited in to become a community, to have people around us. And then as a team, as a community, we recognize we have a cause. And we go and we fight for that cause. Well, what's the cause? Let me show you. It's in the very next chapter of the Bible. It says this. That one day, news came to David that the Philistines were at Calai stealing grain from the threshing floors. David asked the Lord, should I go and attack them? Yes, go and save Calai, the Lord told him. So David is with his community, and he's helped this community find hope. He's helped them find life. He's helped them to become content, to be freed from their debts, to no longer be desperate, but to find what they needed. He's got this community around him, and he hears about another community that's in debt. He hears about another community that is desperate because they're being raided by Philistines, meaning it's taking their food, so now they're in debt, and now they're discontent because they don't have what they need. So David sees that, and he says, these guys, those guys over there in that community, they need what my community has. So he says, God, do you want me to go? And God says, yes, go on the offensive. So David goes on the offensive, but he doesn't go alone. He goes to his people. And he says to his men, we got to go help this community receive what you have found. And I think we would all go, well, that makes sense. I think we'd all kind of feel that, like, I want that person to get what I have gotten. I want that person to find what I have found. I want that person to be freed from what had me as a slave. Like I want that for them. You'd think that would be the natural response. But this is how the guys responded. But David's men said, we're afraid even here in Judah. We certainly don't want to go to Calais to fight the whole Philistine army. You know what they basically were saying? Can we just stay here on this mountain and can we just play defense? Can we hang out here? Like we're afraid of Saul. We already know that he's trying to attack you and kill you, which means he's trying to kill us. So can we just hang back here? Because we're safe here. And if we're safe here, I don't want to go there and help them because I got to worry about my own life. They were playing defense. But David looked at him and he said, no, the Lord has said he will help us to conquer him. Quit playing defense and move forward and play offense because there are people who are just like you. There are people who are in the same situation you were in 3 months ago, 3 years ago, whenever it was, and they need to find the hope that you have already found. What is their cause? To fight for their king? And to fight for people. That was their cause. They heard that from David. They heard that God was going to show up. And they said, okay, we'll fight. We'll fight for our king and we'll fight for people. And guys, the mission of the church, which means the mission of you, the mission of me, the mission of the Rock is to do the same thing. We've got to fight for our king and for people. We fight for our king so that others can meet the king. We love God and we love people. And if we're going to love God and we're going to love people, what do we have to do? Something about it. You can't sit back and play defense. You have to take what you've received and take it to others so they can find what you have found. That's our cause. Our cause is to help people find Jesus. And like I said, maybe you're here and you haven't found Jesus yet. Well, I want that for you today because I want you to realize that you don't have to be desperate. You don't have to be discontent. You don't have to be in debt any longer. But if you have found that, then you need to do everything you possibly can to help others find that, to help others to receive that. Then you need to go on the offensive. I need to go on the offensive to make more and better disciples, more and better followers of Christ. And all that means more, it means I want to take what I've gotten and take it out to others. That David, by going and doing this, he got more people into safety and more people into his tribe, into his community. And we need to be doing that same thing. We need to be looking at our schools, at our university. We need to be looking at our jobs. We need to be looking at our neighborhoods and say, how do I make sure these people who I know maybe is discontent or in debt or desperate, how do I help them find life and hope and peace and take it to them? But I would say this, don't do it on your own. Do it with other people. If you have to do it on your own, do it on your own. David would have went. He went after the Goliath without the people. But when he had the opportunity, he took a team with him. And when we operate as a team, the synergy that comes from that ripples out with a greater impact. So make more, but also make better. Make better disciples. And this would be for anybody right now. I want you to think about this. I want you to be a better follower of Christ. And let me explain that. I talked about it 2 weeks ago, but let me explain it again. By better, I don't mean that we have behavior modification. All right? I'm not a person that is into behavior modification. I don't think about that for us as a church. I don't think about that as a parent. I'm not trying to get my kids to have a better behavior. I know that sounds crazy, but what I really want for my kids is for them to become like Christ. Because if they become like Christ, I don't have to worry about behavior modification. Because if you become like Christ, then you say, I just want to be like Jesus, and I just want to do the things of Jesus, which means I'm not going to do the things of myself. I'm not going to live for myself. I'm going to live for Christ. And if I become more like Jesus, then it's going to help me to be better here on earth. Because I'm going to say, well, I'm not going to jump into that sin because I know that's not like Jesus. And if I don't jump into that sin, then I don't have the consequences of that sin. I don't have separation from God. I don't have separation. I don't have relational tragedy with others because I've said, no, I'm going to become more like Christ, not for behavior modification, but simply because I want to be like Jesus. I want to be more godly, and I want that for all of us. I want people to come to Christ, but then I want us to walk closer to Christ. Well, again, how do we do that? You can do it on your own, but it's a whole lot easier to do it as a team. It's a whole lot easier when you have a community and a cause around you. So it takes me back to this point. At the very beginning, I said, my goal today is that you get on a team. And I want you on a team. I want you on the team with Jesus, but I want you on a team with others. And here at The Rock, we say that all the time. We say, team up, team up, team up, team up. Get on a team. Because when you have a team, you have a community and you have a cause. And here at The Rock, we have different kinds of teams. We have what we call discover teams, and we have what we call respond teams, all right? Now, you can have other teams in your life, all right? Those are good, but let me just talk very specific about The Rock for a second, all right? Just very specific about our church. That we say we want you to get on a discover team or a respond team. Doesn't matter which one, get on one, all right? Because if you get on one, what you're going to have is a community that has a cause. And our cause is to help people know Christ. Our cause is to help people discover God's word and his will. And both discover teams and respond teams, they're built for that whole purpose. Let me explain that. A discover team is built with an idea of helping you discover God's word and his will. And that primarily happens face to face. It happens when you sit down one-on-one with somebody. It happens when you have maybe two or three people together, or maybe upwards of 12 people together, and you're having conversation about God's word and his will. All right, and discover teams here at The Rock, they happen in a bunch of different ways. I have a men's group that I'm a part of. My group meets on Tuesday mornings. I love it because on Tuesday mornings at the coffee bar, I have a group I meet with. There's another group that meets in the coffee bar. There's another group that meets in the coffee bar. Three different men's groups hanging out in the coffee bar all on Tuesday mornings of people discovering God's word and his will face to face. We have women's groups, we have student groups, we have young adult groups. We have a young adult group that is 6 o'clock tonight happens for college age and young adults. We have all kinds of teams that gather like that. All right, we have a thing called Discover More. It's an online resource, all right? It's great for those of you who are watching online right now for you to participate in. But again, you shouldn't do it on your own. You should do it with your family or with some people or maybe with a group of individuals. Watch it on Tuesday or just grab it. It's on the website. You can grab it any day after that where you can discover more about God's word. Right now they're going through the Old Testament. Here in this fall we'll hit kind of some foundations of the faith in the New Testament. We have a ministry called Regen. I talked about it last week. It's a recovery ministry. And it's all about discovering God's word and his will together. We had a group meet Tuesday night for Regen. Had 53 people gather. Okay? It was awesome. It was awesome. And there's plenty of room for more to join, okay? You can show up this Tuesday night if you want. All I'm trying to say is we have discover teams. And I know there's a bunch of you who have people that you meet with to discover God's word and his will face to face that aren't even necessarily connected to the church, all right? That's fine. Doesn't matter to us. We just want you connected with a team. We also have respond teams, some people would call them ministry teams. All that simply means, same thing, discovering God's word and his will. That's still what it's about, but we do it shoulder to shoulder. We're doing it where we're saying we want more people to know who Jesus is. We want more people to walk with Jesus. That happens when we do ministry together, shoulder to shoulder. And as we're doing ministry shoulder to shoulder, then we're able to connect with one another. We're able to talk about God's word. We're able to talk about God's will. And those ministry teams, there's thousands of them. From this gen teams to tech teams and worship teams and guest experience teams. And you can see the list behind me. There's a bunch. All I'm simply saying is, if you get on a team, it's going to help you live out that cause a little bit easier because you're going to be in community. But a team also gives you one more thing. It gives you a coach. And that's critical. We're going to go into a time of response. I'm going to talk about a coach for a second. Because the bottom line is each and every one of us need coaches in our lives. It's not always fun to be coached. It's not always fun to have somebody say, hey, I noticed this in your life, okay? It's not always fun for somebody to say, hey, let me help you do this better. But if you want to be successful, then you want to take that coaching. You know what I mean? Great athletes understand a coach is telling me what he's telling me because he wants me to be better at whatever my craft is. And when it comes to walking with God, we need coaches in our life who will point us towards Jesus on how to follow him and then be better at walking with him, about how to become more like him. I need coaches in my life. I've had them my entire life. I can remember Coach Gatz who did it. I can remember Randy, my youth pastor, who helped me become a man of God. I can think about our elders here at the church. They're coaches in my life. They coach me. I coach them. I can talk about five guys that are coming to visit with me this week, all lead pastors who will be hanging out here this next week. We coach one another because we still need coaching. I still need coaching. All of us need coaching because we all need coaches in our life who will point us towards Christ and towards our cause and developing community. So I want you to have a coach. And the most important coach I want you to have is Jesus, that he is the head coach. Guys, I know I might be the lead pastor of this church, but I am not the head coach of this church. If anything, I'm an assistant coach. Maybe we just change my title now. Maybe from now on, I'll just be the offensive coordinator. Okay? I'll just be the offensive coordinator. Because all I want to do is point us towards the head coach. I want us all recognize the head coach in Jesus Christ. Because if we understand what our head coach is, who our head coach is, and we understand what his word says and what his will is, and we implement that into our life, then we're going to have a better team. And we're going to be more successful at helping others get on the team. I want you to have some coaches in your life. Most importantly, I want you to have Jesus. And maybe you're with us right now and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Today's the day to get on the team. Here's the beautiful thing. There's no tryouts. There's no cuts. It's everybody skate. Young people, ask your parents about that, okay? But it's one of those things where everybody gets to be a part of it. Everybody gets to be a part of the team. Jesus is saying, come on, get out of the stands. I'm glad you're enjoying it. I'm glad you're watching. I'm glad you're learning, but I want you on the field. I want you in the uniform. I want you on the team because Jesus wants to be your coach. If you're here today and you've never surrendered to Jesus, if you're watching from home and you've never surrendered to Jesus, today is the day to say yes. But then there's a second level. Don't do life alone. It's not a solo sport. It's a team sport. I mean, think about golf right now. I love golf, but you know what? Golf is a team sport. You talk to professional golfers, they'll always talk about our team. Ricky Fowler's probably the best about it. He'll just say, my team. He's the one scoring. He's the one shooting. No, it's a team. NASCAR, it's a team sport. It's all team sports. Christianity is not a solo sport. It's a team sport. So if you're not on a team, you need to get one because you need to go from large community to a smaller community, where you can learn God's word and his will, either face to face or shoulder to shoulder. And you can be about the mission. So it's real simple today. You can do that. You can pull out your phone, jump on the Rock app, and say, I want to get on a team. It's real simple. It's right there. It'll say discover, respond. Click one of them and it'll help you. Or just go to the Connect Corner. There are people there that want to help you walk with Jesus. They want to get you teamed up. Guys, I'm excited. Let's go ahead and stand. And I want you to think about this right now. As we do this response, I just simply want you to say, God, I'm available. That God, I'm available. I'm ready to get on a team. I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready to say yes. And you do that. Sing. Do it by singing. Do it by praying. Maybe you want to take communion. There's communion on the front of the stage. You can take communion and spend some time with Jesus that way. But let's say to the Lord right now, I'm available. Because I found hope. I found contentment. I have found forgiveness in you. I want that for you. I want it for others. So let's get teamed up today. Jesus, we're available. We're available. We're available. Thank you for drafting us. Thank you for letting us come onto the team. Thank you for being a coach who speaks value. Thank you for forgiveness. And thank you for calling us to something greater than ourselves. Jesus, we're available in your name.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about how to give to God through the Rock, you can find that on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.